So today I'm going to be talking on miracles of provision, or miracles for provision, as we continue on this series of miracles. And God is doing some amazing things, and he's building our faith. And so I wanted to speak to us today from this topic and help build our faith in this aspect as well, to see how God is the one who provides. So before we get into it today, though, let's just pray so that our hearts are prepared to receive from God today. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are good and that it is your desire, Father, to bless us and to meet our needs. But today, Father, I ask that you would open up our hearts and that you would prepare them to receive your words today, that our lives might be changed and transformed by the power of your word today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, in life, life is life sometimes. A lot of things come at us from different angles, different ways, and we have things that arise that sometimes we don't foresee happening, and we have a lot of different needs that taken care of. We have physical needs. God created us. We have physical bodies, we live a physical life, and there's physical needs that these physical bodies need, like food. My son is constantly thinking of food. He's a teenager. All those with teenagers, you know what I mean. It's like, I just fed you. I want a snack. And sometimes these needs, we can worry about them. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We're going to go through the scripture. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Think about that for a second. For all the things that you need and that you worry about, does that worry get you what you need? Just heartache. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows what you need before you even ask him. He knows our needs. He created us. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Many times we look into the future and we think, but what if this happens? But what if this happens? What if this doesn't go right? What if I can't make it? What if I can't earn enough money? What if I can't provide? We have all these what ifs. God says, seek me. I'm the need-meeting God. You know, his name, one of his names is actually Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah meaning the Lord. The Lord. And Jireh, which actually means to see or reveal, meaning he lets us see, or he reveals to us in a sense of giving to us what we need. Revealing it to us or giving it to us for what we need. So Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will reveal, or the Lord will provide. I want you to get this. The Lord will reveal. The Lord will provide. He will. It's a promise of his. And God always fulfills his promises. I want you, Listen to that. Get that. He always fulfills his promises. We're going to read a story here in 1 Kings about a woman who is in a situation of deep need, so much so that she doesn't see a way out, and she's basically just reserving herself to, well, this is it. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him." This is, I believe, Elisha. And this is in a time where there was great wickedness, actually, in Israel under King Ahab, probably the worst of all of Israel's kings. And because of that, Elisha, by the word of God, proclaimed a drought over the land. A very severe drought, and so nothing was growing. And so here we are now in this time where nothing is growing, and it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elisha, 'Rise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.'" So Elisha had needs. He needed to be fed. "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'And bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord lives, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of these sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die.'" This is our last meal. We'd have nothing else. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. I am relegated to that fact. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son." It's like, I know you got not even enough for your son, and you're going to die, but I want you to feed me first. Do what God has told you to do first through his prophet. So he says, "And then go feed yourself and your son." And it says, "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Excuse me, Elijah. That's a miracle. Where there was no way, God made a way. Where they didn't see the means of it happening, God gave them what they needed. God is our provider. Many times we can come into situations where we're like, I don't see there's any way that this could take place. I've tried, and it's just not going to work out. But God, we need to trust that God is our provider. Our job is not our provider. This world is not our provider. The government is not our provider. God is our provider. He's the one who created it all. It's his to give and his to take away. But he will provide for us, and he can do so in supernatural ways, just like he did with this widow. But we need to trust him, trust that he is our provider, and trust that he fulfills his promises, and not worry, and seek him. Seek him first. God, I don't see there being a way, but I trust you. I'll continue to serve you and do what you tell me to do. God can make a way where there is no way. this is, let's see, now I'm 42. So 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, when I was in college, I was up in Seattle going to college. I didn't have a job, and so for a little while, I would just apply for, you know, a credit card and charge it to pay for the little expenses that I had. And when that one was getting too high, I'd just get another credit card and start charging that one. I think I stopped it too because I realized I can't continue down this path. This is not good. But I remember I was like, I need to get a job. So I would go and apply to several different places, and nobody was calling me back and saying, hey, would you come in for an interview? And I'm like, God, like, you know what I need? I need a job, so I can't just keep digging myself into debt. So I kept applying. Nothing would call me back. Finally, one place called me back and said, yeah, we have an opening. It was a clothing store. He's like, we have an opening for somebody, I think it was at Stock Shelves or whatever it was. Come on down, and we'll give you an interview / orientation. I was like, okay. So I go down there, and as soon as I get in there, I was like, this is not right. And I felt like God speak to me in that as they're giving me this orientation, this is not what I have for you. And I remember having this conversation with God as I'm there listening to them give me this spiel of what to do. And I'm like, God, I need this job. You know that I need this job. I need some income right now. And he's like, this is not what I have for you. I was like, but God, then what? Like, I've applied and applied and applied. Nobody else is offering. And he's like, no, trust me. So at the end of this interview / orientation, I said, you know what? Thank you, but this isn't the right fit. And the person was like, oh, okay, well, and I walked out. And I remember going back home or back to my apartment or whatever, where I was staying, and I was like, God, like, why aren't you providing? Like, it seemed like this was the only open door, and you told me to close it. Why? And so for a couple more weeks, I prayed and nothing came about. I prayed and nothing came about. God, please give me a job. Open another door. And I applied at several other places. Nobody called me back. And I remember one morning, I just got on my face, basically, and cried. I was like, God, please. And then I prayed a specific prayer. I was like, God, I pray that today you would give me a job. And I left it at that. Got my stuff ready to go to class that day and started out down the walk. It was about a mile walk to class. But I remember as I was walking to class, my phone rang. And it's like, huh, okay. I didn't really recognize the number. I picked it up. I'm like, hello? And it's like, hey, Jimmy? Yeah? This is, I think his name was Jesse. And he managed our house. It was basically like a Christian fraternity. There were several houses. He's like, Jimmy? I was like, yeah? He's like, do you want a job? And I was just like, yeah. He's like, good, because I need somebody to do all the odds and ends around the houses and like paint and do stuff like that. And you can work your own schedule and write down your hours, and then you just turn it into me, and then we'll go from there. How's that sound? Good. Like, I can only imagine when he's like, does this guy want this job or not? Like, what's going on? But I was in shock. Like, I needed a job. I was like, God, give me a job today. And all of a sudden, I had a job that I could work around my school schedule. And I was just like, wow, God. And I was just in shock. I was like, yeah, I want a job. And it was such a blessing. I didn't have to travel to my work. I woke up and I was right there. I could do it right there. Not that I liked painting, but like God, I was like, thank you for this job. And I was able to slowly pay for my expenses. But God is good. God knows what you need. He knows the things that we need. He knows that our body needs clothes. He knows that we need food. He knows that we need finances to provide for our families. He knows these things. And he's a miracle need-meeting God. Ephesians 3:20 through 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within him, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. What I could think is God's going to give me a job somewhere at a department store that I can get a few hours a week, work whatever schedule I can try to fit in, probably thinking I was going to have to work nights. And he gives me a job that I can make my own schedule. Do it how I want. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So we can have faith in the one who has the means. God is the one who has the means, and he has the ability to make it happen far beyond what we could ask or think or imagine. God is abundantly generous. I want you to know that too. He's abundantly generous. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God will supply every need. Some of your needs? A couple of them? Most of them? Every need of yours according to what? The riches of the world? The riches of the government? His riches. And what does he own? Everything. This word in this verse, supply, is the Greek word pleurao. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Not pleuru, pleurao. And it means to fill or make full. So God will make full every need of yours according to his riches. He doesn't give us just barely enough to get by. He will supply every need. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." His grace may abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, everything that you need in all things, not in some things, in all things. Now, when the Bible uses the word all, it means all. It's not some deep theological thing. It means all. You may abound in every good work. God provides and God blesses, not just for us to hoard it. He provides and he blesses so that we can also be a blessing. So that we can help somebody else out in need, so that we can share in the riches that he's given us, so that they may see the goodness, the glory, and the provision of God as well. Now, I do want to say, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not going to give you everything you want. There's a lot of things I want. I get very little of that. That's actually good. But he does give us what we need. He's the need providing God. My kids want a lot of things. Most of the things they don't get. because I'm a good dad. This last week or so, they've had the opportunities of an abundance of sweets. Seems like every day. We were just at a pastor's conference in Oak Harbor, and after every meal, they provided like brownies and cookies and ice cream, and it's just on and on and on. And so on our way home last night, they're like, after we eat dinner, so what do we get for dessert? I was like, enough is enough. You're not going to get what you want this time. But God is a good father. He's not always going to give you what you want because he knows sometimes that can be harmful to us. It's not going to be beneficial to you. But he will give you what you need because he's good and he's loving. He's not going to withhold from us because he's a good father. He's not like, oh, you need to suffer through this. There are some times where we do suffer, but it's for our benefit. He doesn't cause us to suffer just for suffering's sake. Because he's loving. But he does provide for us all that we need. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you this story of how God provided this building for this church. It's pretty miraculous. And I was asking Pastor Doug this week just kind of some of the details. And it's just so cool. I've heard it, and I love to continue to hear it. And I know some of you probably haven't heard it all. I know some of you do know this story. But when we first started this church, when Pastor Doug first came back to Grace Harbor, he drove by this building. He's like, it'd be cool if there was a church. This would be a cool building for a church someday. Little did he know it was going to be the church that he pastored. And initially, we moved in. The school district owned this building, obviously, and they rented this building to us. And Pastor Doug had asked, do you ever think you would consider selling this building to us? And they're like, no, you can rent it. Actually, make plans to be out by the end of the year. We may need it back for school. And he's like, okay. So we rented, and this happened actually for 6 straight years. Every year, would you guys consider selling? No, plan to be out by the end of the year because we may need it. So for 6 straight years, they weren't willing to sell. And they said, you better make plans to exit because we're going to take the building back. And during that time, it wasn't like we were just sitting here. Pastor Doug was looking for other places. And after 6 years, there just wasn't any viable options. And so he got down on his face and he prayed. Said, there's no other options, God. There's no other way. Our backs are up against the wall. And he asked, God, would you provide something? The next day, the school district called. Said, would you like to buy the building? For $1.2 million. Well, we did not have $1.2 million. Far from that. We had maybe a quarter of that. And so it's like, well, yeah, we would like to buy this building, but we don't have that type of money. So we did think it prudent to get an appraisal just to see what the worth of it was. And what we didn't know and what none of the people involved knew is that a few years prior, FEMA had redrawn the lines of what was in the flood zone, and this building fell inside the flood zone. And so devalued the building, and actually quite a bit. And the appraisal came back at $285,000. The school district didn't like that. So they had another appraisal done to check. And that appraisal actually came back less. So they met with the school district. Pastor Doug and another wrench, Bob Sornberger, went to go negotiate. It wasn't a negotiation, but went to go make an offer to the school district to the building. Pastor Doug felt in his heart that God wanted us to offer more than what it was worth. So they offered $300,000 for the purchase of this building, which was what? A quarter of the price that was originally asked and which we had. So we were able to buy this building outright without taking on any loans. And now this is in the possession of God and his people. For his glory, for his goodness. See, God can make a way where there is no way. And we just need to trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Many times we can think, I don't understand. I don't see a way. But God makes a way where there is no way. So I want you to just think about your current situation. Maybe you're facing a financial hardship. And God's not just a provider in finances, but in all aspects of life. Whether it be finances, whether it be health, whether it be mental, spiritual, he's the provider of all. He knows what we need. And we need to trust in him. Trust in the one who has it all. Not lean on our own understanding. Acknowledge him. And he, it says here, he will make straight our paths. Basically, he will direct our paths. He will give us the way to go and the means to do so. God is good and he can do it. And I want to tell you God knows your need. He knows exactly what you need. And you know what? Actually, if we could just all stand right now. He knows that our greatest need is him. Our greatest need is God, is Jesus. I want us to never lose sight of that fact. And because he recognized that our greatest need was him, he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He provided his one and only son for us so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He provided his son, Jesus, so that we may be forgiven and set free and redeemed. And Jesus gave his life, provided his life as a sacrifice for us so that we could be set free. He didn't have to do that, but he did so because he's so generous, because he loves us. I want you to just know this. God loves you so much so you can't even comprehend. So as we close and going into worship song here in a second, I just want to ask you this. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you haven't accepted that gift of our Heavenly Father, of His Son, and the price that He paid on the cross so that you could know Him, so that you could be free, so that you could be forgiven. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. So if that's you and you want to say, yes, I want Jesus, I want to accept that gift that He gave, that provision of His Son, that provision of salvation, of freedom, of restoration, of healing. If that's you this morning, could you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that this morning? I see that hand. Anybody else? I said, yes, I want Jesus. Okay. This is for anybody who's online as well. We'll pray this together. And it comes by faith. These aren't magic words, but if you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, you will be saved. So let's say this together. Father God, thank you for giving your Son, Jesus, to die in my place. Jesus, thank you for giving your life freely so that I may be forgiven and set free so that I can live in the freedom of you. Forgive me of my sin. From this day forward, I promise to serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to go into a song here, worship. If I could have the prayer team come on up. If you have any need, whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, mental, please come get prayer and know that our good God who loves you wants to provide for your needs. Amen? Okay, let's worship.